Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
What's up, VBF? How are you guys doing? Oh, Tom said he already asked you guys during announcement. Sorry, I took your job. But I'm excited for tonight. I want to preface this, I want to get real. I want us to leave here changed in praying and, amen. But in praying and prepping, I just really felt there's someone out there in the same position I was in, 11 and a half, 12 years ago, and it just in desperate need of something to change in their lives. And Jesus came in and wrecked my world. So I want you guys to be open to allow Jesus to allow you to let him change you. You have to let him. He's a graceful and a patient God. If you don't want him to change you, he won't change you. You have to let him. You have to let him. So with that mindset, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you right now, surrendering my mouth to you, God, surrendering my lips, my ideas, my thoughts. This is all you, Father. So whatever you want to speak to us tonight, let your will be done, Father. We ask that your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. That was a good amen somewhere over here. That was high quality. So I'm going to get into a topic. This was actually a lesson that I went into partly with the junior hires this week. For one, I hope you guys understand that your youth ministries they're not getting nothing sugar-coated out there. They are getting the gospel. They're getting it real. And we're not holding back just because they're youth. So I'm going to add on to that message. But in order to do so for a youth lesson, you have to use a lot of current events because they are going, they are up on the news. If you guys notice, me, I'm getting older. I'm 33 now. I don't ever know what's really going on. But they can tell you in an instant what's going on in this world. And one thing that happened not too long ago was a Travis Scott concert. Some of you guys in here are like, who in the world even is that? Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. It was a concert. It's a big rapper, 48 million followers on Twitter. And these people came to his festival and they got crowded in. And what happened is bodies overheated. People got trampled. People died. I think the death count was up to 300 people hospitalized. Horrible thing that went on at this concert. But there's this kid. I'm not going to show you guys the video. I'm gonna say what happened in this video. There's a kid, great kid, who got caught on camera standing up on the stage trying to tell Travis Scott, this big rapper, stop your concert. Stop it. There's someone's daughter out here dying. This is someone's kid out here dying. Stop your concert. And he's standing on there trying to tell him. And of course, there's thousands and thousands of people. Travis Scott did not see or acknowledge this kid, but I don't believe it was on purpose. It's just I love the kid's heart of trying to tell them that, hey, there's something more important than you on that stage going on out here, right? Beautiful. This very same kid ends up getting on the Today Show because he has this testimony. He was in the crowd taking his last breath. He had fell down. He was getting trampled. People were on top of him. He couldn't breathe. And he decided when he realized that he thought he was about to die, what he did was start praying. He said, I'm a Christian, and I've given my life to you, Lord. Jesus, right now, I pray that you spare my girlfriend. I pray that you spare my friends. And if you spare me, I will preach about you all my days. He says something like that, of that sort. And he says that, when he says amen, the moment he says amen under this pile, he hadn't caught a breath in a long time. The second he said amen, he caught his first breath. Someone rolled off of him. He was able to breathe. Not only that, a hand reaches out from the audience, a real hand. I know some of us spiritual people are like, was it an angel? It was a real hand. Reaches out to him, pulls him out of the crowd. And that moment right there is what I based everywhere we're going to go tonight off of. There's going to come a moment in our life, no matter what you believe in, where you are, who you are, there's going to come a moment when you're facing death in the eyes. It's going to happen. And you're not going to call on your favorite rapper, your favorite basketball player. You're not going to call on any of those things. You're going to call on someone who can save you. You're going to call on Jesus Christ. But do we have to wait until that last breath, until we're sinking, until we're in the dumps, to go, all right, Jesus, I'm coming to you. All right, Jesus, I'm going to try this your way. So this kid's story reminded me of Jonah in the Bible, and I had read it. I've read Jonah and done the stories with kids ministry and youth ministry so many times, but God showed me so much brand new in this story, and I'm going to connect it. This is the way I am when I read the Bible. You don't have to read it the way I do, but when I read the Bible, I instantly implant myself, my life into those stories however I can. I want to fill myself in these people's shoes. So with that mindset, let's read in Jonah. Jonah 1. This is the very beginning of the book of Jonah, you guys. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee the Lord. I want to stop right there. My first point, you out there in the audience, what is the Lord calling you to do? Jonah gets told to do something very hard. The people of Nineveh, not trying to hear from Jonah, they were actually his enemies, and he wanted no parts in going to tell in this whole place, hey, I need to tell you how wicked you guys are and let you know that you need Jesus. No one jumps up and down to go tell someone how much they're messing up. We know as people, it doesn't get received very well at all. So he wasn't jumping for it, and he decides to flee to Tarshish. Now, when I implant myself into this story, it's not, God didn't call me from the beginning to get on this stage and preach to people. That's not the first thing he called me to do. He called me to surrender some things. He called me to lay some things down. He called me to start putting him first. I want to get real transparent up here. When I was sitting out there, I was in that corner, and Pastor Ron was preaching the gospel. I knew I had to let go of the way I was living my life. But I did not want to. Not an ounce of my body, not an ounce of my mind, not an ounce of my soul wanted to let go of partying. Not an ounce of me wanted to let go of women. Not an ounce of me wanted to let go of the chase of money. Not any parts of me. So what happened when I became a Christian? I would come here and I would sit in these seats. Like a lot of us who are in here right now would come and sit in these seats. And then Thursday night would come and you would catch me downtown partying with the rest of them. I would come and sit in these seats. And I would leave here, and that very night I would sit in my room in the darkest depression that you can imagine. I would come and sit in here Sunday and Wednesday, and then I would go and I would sleep with women, knowing that Pastor Ron had showed us and had taught us that you shouldn't have premarital sex. If that's the first drop for you guys, I'm sorry I ruined you. It's a real thing. Hearing those things, I wanted to flee my calling. I knew I was being called to become a Christian. I knew God was saying, I'm real. I'm showing you that I'm real. I'm showing you that I'm not just someone that these people get up here and talk about. I'm showing you that I am more. I'm even more than what people are preaching about. I am the creator of everything. I'm showing you that, and I want you to lay your life down and follow me. He's telling me that, and what do? I run to Tarshish. My Tarshish was running back downtown to the club. I ran from everything that God had called me to do. And I know that there's people out there. I'm sorry for being rough. I know there's people out there sitting in their seats. And you're supposed to lay down some liquor. You're supposed to lay down a drug. You're supposed to be a more kind husband. You're supposed to be a better father, a daughter. You know what God is calling you to do, calling you to let go. And you're chilling, having the time of your life in Tarshish right now. We're here to change that track. Today, we're going to change that track. What I love about today's lesson is that it's for all. There's not a person in this building that should walk away and say, that wasn't for me. Because whether you've never invited Jesus into your life or you've been walking with him, there's something he's calling you from glory to glory. There's something you're supposed to be doing, and I'm just here to motivate you to go do it. I hope you guys can all relate with running from Tarshish, because it is freeing to let people know, like, hey, I've been running, but I'm done. Like that moment of being done running is beautiful. Let's continue on reading the rest of this story. The Lord sent, listen to this. This is the basis of the lesson. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break. go back to that verse. I want to stop right there. The Lord, so often we go, man, the devil's really throwing stuff at me now. Sometimes there's consequences for the way we are living. You see, the Lord sent a great wind. And it didn't just mess up Jonah, who's on the boat. It messed up the sailors who picked him up and allowed him to get on the boat. The people around him are suffering because of the decisions Jonah's making to run from the Lord. Hard question again. I'm sorry. I wish I could be motivating you more, but just wait till the end because Jesus is going to triumph. Who's suffering? You know who was suffering? My parents, my mom wondering if I was alive when I was out there. All the women that I dated and just mistreated. Who's suffering because of the decisions we're making? You see, I would come home after an alcoholic binge and I'd be fully in a depression and I would just act like people didn't exist. I didn't want to hear or talk to anyone. It was causing suffering in other people's lives. It was causing waves. It was causing destruction in other people's lives because of the choices I was making by not following God. You guys, I know some of us get down on ourselves and we go, I just keep messing up. I'm a mistake. But I know all of us, because we are made in His image, we don't wish hurt upon no one else, especially those close to us around us. But when we're fleeing from the thing that God's calling us to do and being the person that God's calling us to be, when we flee from that, we are hurting those around us. Even now in these days when I'm not clinging on to my calling and staying close to the Lord, I can say something that will hurt my wife. I can do something that will send my kids astray. I cannot put those kids out there in junior high first and put other things in front of them when I don't put Jesus Christ as the head. I'm not putting myself on any different playing field than you guys. If we don't pursue the righteousness that God is calling us to, then we're going the other way. We're fleeing. We're fleeing. And today, we're going to change that. Today, we're going to make a decision to follow Jesus and follow Him wholeheartedly. It's the answer. Let's watch how the story continues. All the sailors were afraid. Each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck where he had laid down and fell asleep. I'd be so mad at Jonah. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up. Call on your God. Maybe He will take notice of us that we will not perish." The sailors also said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots and find out who is responsible for this calamity." I don't know why in the Bible it happens a lot, the casting lots. It works all the time. Not how I would have found out who did it. They cast lots and it fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And this is a very important proclamation. Go back to that. He explains that I worship and follow the Lord who created the very winds and waves that's destroying us. He is saying how he's a prophet. I failed to mention that. He's a prophet. He knows how big and how good God is. That's why I say this lesson isn't just for the non-believer. This is for us who believe. You know how big and how good God is, and we're running. We're not going to stop. Parenting teaches us a lot about God, I'm telling you. My kids, I tell them to go to sleep, send them in the room, go back to the living room, sit with the wife, and we're going to watch TV. And then, of course, you hear, "Get off me, get off my hair, stop doing this and that." I run back there, dad's voice, "Hey, be quiet." And then I leave, and next thing you hear is like a big bang. It's just escalating, right? I know some of you parents are like, hallelujah. So then I go back there again. I go, "Hey, we're going to get quiet. It's bedtime, you guys. Lights out. We're going to stay quiet." And then I do my dad move, my favorite dad move. We have this little baby gate that every time I walk back there to get on to my kids, I have to open it. It makes a pretty loud noise so they know I'm coming. Right? And you hear them, "Shh, dad's coming." So when I yell at them and I'm kind of fed up, I say, "Hey, no more talking, be quiet." And I go and I take the little baby gate, open it, close it right back, and then go listen. And then you'll hear Hazel, the oldest and the ringleader of the house and the only lady, she goes, he's gone. You pretend you're a dinosaur and I'm a monkey, and we're gonna, and I'm like, hey, I'm right here. And they go, oh, jump in the vans, get back to it. And it's so easy to catch these little infants in their little plans to try to stay awake. And I'm just a little human being. And we got the nerve to try to run from God. But I'm gonna go over here. I'm gonna go down here. I'm gonna smoke a little of this. I'm gonna do a little of that. God won't see. God won't know. God, there's not gonna be consequences. Jesus paid for it all. Consequences. God could care less about the law like that. It's really not, because Jesus did pay for every single sin that we committed. But God knows that we get torn away from him, that he cannot stare into the face of sin and look at us. When Jesus was on that cross, he said, God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment, he became all of our sin, and God had to look away. Who are we to think that God doesn't see what we're going through? So I'm here to tell you today, as we watch how Jonah reacts, we're all allowed to be a Jonah. That's the grace of God. We're allowed to run. You can run from your calling. But I wanted you to see how foolish you look while you're running, and watch how Jonah returns. He comes back. Next verse. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up, throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row to the land. I want you guys to catch this. Instead, the men did their best to row to the land, but could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Once again, so many times, see this verse, we try to pick it up and fix our life. God gave the solution. You gotta toss him. You gotta sacrifice him. Get him off this boat, I'll fix it all. And they're like, hang on, we can get rid of some stuff. God, I'll stop cussing. God, I'll stop drinking. But I'm still gonna be sleeping with someone over here. God, I'll stop doing it. We try to start tossing off some sin. All right, I'm gonna make it. And God's just looking at us. Like, do you understand? I'm saving you from death. The wages of sin is death. That's what he's saving us from. We can't just toss a little sin off. We need to accept the one who took all the sin and bore it for us. We can't just toss it off. And when we accept that, the craziest thing, the beautiful thing about the gospel is when we accept that we have to accept what Jesus did for us, then we don't even have to toss a thing. God just takes all the stuff. He's like, oh, this sin here, I'm gonna help you get rid of this. This one here, and he walks patiently with us, walks with us through it, is more patient than any human being you've ever ran into. He's not gonna condemn you. He's gonna walk you through every sin that you need to get rid of, every problem, every flaw that you think you have, until the last day of your life, he's gonna walk with you until you get it done. All of us in here, there's not a perfect person standing in here, because I don't see Jesus himself standing here. We're all being pricked and made fine and made perfect and made brand new for that day that we meet him. Continue on. Then they cried out to the Lord. Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing this innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you please. So now they've accepted it. They're like, all right, we're going to toss him. Now you are the God of the universe. You better not punish us for tossing this man in the sea, because we know what's going to happen to him. I love when the Bible gets real like that, and they're like, God, now, all right, you're telling us to do this. I better see you in heaven. Like, I better not be cast out, because you told me to toss this man. Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm around them. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. I want you guys to see, the sailors got saved. The sailors were horrible people, by the way, known for being horrible people. They saw, Jonah's God, the God of Israel, can just stop this. He can cause the sea to destroy us, and he can stop it. And even after we've tossed this dude, he stopped it. Oh, I'm following that God. If these sailors can make that decision, let's go, VBF. We can make this decision to follow him, to give it up. Give it up and follow him. I've had some recent struggles. Life has been absolutely insane because we're about to go into the part where Jonah is in the mouth of a fish. My last 3 weeks have been my youngest son, Easton, in the hospital, in and out. My niece ran away from home. My cousin died in a motorcycle accident. And then today, Easton went back into the hospital before I came up here today. I feel like I'm getting hit by waves. You know what I mean? God, and I haven't missed a beat. I caught myself when my niece ran away. I caught myself sitting at the front desk of our office, and I was kind of out of it, and it bugged me because I just like to trust in the Lord through it all. And I felt like I was moping a little bit. But God showed me, and this is what it's here for. This term and title was running from the waves. God showed me that in the past, before I knew how good and great he was, moments like this, I'm back fighting, I'm back at the club, me and the wife aren't getting along, and I'm drowning my sorrows in liquor. But because of knowing his goodness, there's this thing called hope. And when we're in the mouth of a whale, when we're in the lowest, the deepest of the depths, we're getting hit by everything, we can still cling on to hope. There's this beautiful commercial that comes on the radio for the Children's Hospital, and this young girl who has cancer defines hope. She says, they ask this little girl, they say, hey, what's hope? And in the little radio commercial, she says, hope is never, ever giving up no matter what. Isn't that the most beautiful definition of what hope is? Now, as I'm going through these trials, I can't give up. I can't deny what God is and what he is doing. And that's why when I looked into this is the second book in Jonah, where he says his prayer from inside the well. He says his prayer to the Lord after running. And I don't know if anybody's out there who's like me, who have been running from what God's calling you to do. And I want to point out some of those things. God has told me to start a ministry before, and I've ran from it. I've ran and I ran. God has told me, go make a video for social media saying this thing. And I've not done it because I'm like, that's not going to get a lot of likes. Why would I make that video? Some of you have been there. God has told me to let go of things. God has told me to give things away. And I've held on. Like, there's lots of times where I've found myself in the very shoes of Jonah. And to see that it causes chaos in my life. And it's not always the devil. Sometimes it's God. And to see how God works with us. Jonah's going to make it clear that God still worked with him even while he was fleeing from the Lord. Let's look at Jonah 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, in my distress, I called on the Lord and he answered me. From the deep realm of the dead, I feel this prayer. I call for help and you listen to my cry. Anyway, I want you guys to listen to that. Go back to that. Listen to the God's people. Anybody out there, make some noise if you've been in distress and called and on the Lord and he listened to every single bit of your cry. There are people, guys, this knowledge isn't for us. There's people out there that don't know that they can cry their heart out to the Lord and he'll be there. How many times are we going to come sit in these pews or chairs we have and not let people know that there's a Lord that's ready to hear their cry? We so often try to be that shoulder they can cry on. We have to glorify the Lord and lead them to the Lord because he will be there when we can't. We have to start getting bold. You see, the problem with Jonah in this story was he wasn't bold enough to go say and do what God had told him to do. God has told you are in a friend group. You are in a family. You are in a place where you are the voice of the Lord for those people. You can't run from your calling anymore. People need to know that you walk with Jesus, that you have someone who listens to your every cry and works with you. You need to let people know that. It's not just for you. Next verse. He hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All the waves All the waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight. Good Lord, have I felt like that when you fail. And you're like, God, I know you don't, I'm sin right now. You don't even want to look at me. Yet, I will look again towards your holy temple. I will look, you guys who are in that feeling, that mode, I know who he's talking about, those good Christians out there. No, I'm talking to you, the person that feels far from God, that feels like God, he might want to do something with you, but he doesn't want to do anything with me. That's who I'm talking to right now. God wants you to just look up to him and go, I'm ready. And when you say that, I said it back there in a Green Bay Packer jersey looking like a fool, and he, some reason, decided to change my dang life. It's crazy. Next verse. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountains I sank down to the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, the junior hires had to teach me what ebbing was. I remember you, Lord. My prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And I'll leave that verse up there. That's that Travis Scott concert I started with. When you get to the lowest of lows, and I'm telling you right now, if you're a skeptic out there, when you get there, when you're looking death in the face, you're going to call on Jesus. He's a true God. But he loves you so much, he wants you to call on him now. He wants to be your God now. He doesn't want to just pull you out at the end and let you suffer and be miserable here. He wants to pull you out now. He wants you to live a life abundant now. Some of us are still dealing with waves that we don't have to deal with. Next verse. Those who cling to worthless idols, rappers, basketball players, money, whatever it is, turn away from God's love from them. It's what causes us to flee, putting something else above them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you, will give it up. The hardest part of my walk. Kids, plug your ears. Hardest part of my walk was when Pastor Ron taught me that premarital sex is wrong, and it will jack you up. It'll jack up your mindset. It'll jack up how you think about women. It'll make disgusting and pervert something that God wanted to be beautiful. And coming from the world I was in, that sounded crazy. But then I decided I was suicidal. I was hurt. I was broken. I was getting hit by waves after waves after waves. I went, all right, God, I will sacrifice it to you. This life I'm living isn't that fun. I'll finally admit it. I'll put my pride down and go, I'm not living my best life. I set it down, and I set that down with it. I went 4 years celibate completely until I married my current wife right now. So don't any of you guys say it's not possible, because I'm a heathen. It's still to this day, that's a miracle. I'm trying to tell you, you don't need it. It was a miracle. Don't understand it. And all, I'm not special. It just took surrendering. It took the sacrifice. He goes, okay, I'm gonna walk into my enemy camp. I'm gonna go preach the gospel like you told me to do. I finally give up. It took the well, but he gave up. What I vowed, I will make good, and I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And that moment could seem disgusting and horrible, but that is a triumphant moment. That's what I felt when I walked from that back seat. I went home, and I finally, in my bathroom, said, God, I give it all to you. I surrender to you. I felt like all the vomit and the filth that I had was still just soaking around me, but I knew it was gone. I knew it was gone. I knew it was going to be a struggle. I knew I wasn't perfect from that day on. I messed up time after time again. But I knew from that day forward, God was working with me. And that's what I want us to do as we leave here today. Now, this reminded me of the story where Jesus is on the boat. And I want you guys to see how very similar this is. Mark 4, 35 through 41, if you guys are in your Bibles. The day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. This is, leaving the crowd behind, they took along, just as he was in the boat. There also other boats were with them. Continue. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it nearly was swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, pulling a Jonah, knocked out, sleeping. Jesus gets a pass. I'm not mad at him, though. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Continue. He got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, "Be quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Leave it right there. Remember that, the waves calming down is what got those sailors saved. In English, there's this word personification. It's when you take the attributes of a person and you drop it on an item, right? There's a teacher. His name was Josh Reebok, I think is his name. And he blew my mind one day when he read this story and taught us this story, because he said he was telling us to pick a favorite character in this story. And in that story, in Mark, he said we all guessed our favorite character, and we were all wrong, because his favorite character was the wind and the waves. He said he personified them because the disciples were panicked. The disciples were going nuts. They were scared to death, and you'll see Jesus responds with them. "Why are you so afraid?" That's what Jesus responds to his disciples. He's disappointed in them. But the wind and the waves, catch this, the wind and the waves, the moment he said, "Be quiet," listened. The wind and the waves, the moment he said to do something, they acted. Obedience, 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 obedience. If the winds and the waves can listen to the Lord, so can we. We can be ready for this moment. If God's telling you to not walk out of here the same today, God's telling you you're going to start a ministry, if God's telling you you're going to get involved, guys, let me tell you, the many opportunities you have here at your very church. We not only do we have in town the two campuses, you can go to Northwest or here and serve. Not only do we have web shows going on that need people to learn video equipment, we have children's ministries that are all short-staffed. We have youth ministries that need your help. We have so much going on, and that's just our church. There's other local churches. There's other nonprofit organizations that need people to step up and do something. You see, I'm not just asking you guys to walk out of here with a little less sin. I'm asking you guys to walk out of here with more responsibility for God's kingdom. I want to look at how big God is. Look at Romans 11, 33 through 36. We went over this in our devotions recently. "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him, through him, and for him all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen." I want to magnify how big our great God is and what he can do for you, if you are willing to sacrifice and surrender to him. And before I get to that moment, which I only have about 3 minutes left, before I get to that moment, I want you guys to prep yourself. All of us should be saying this prayer at the end. This isn't going to be your normal altar call. Those who want to step into glory to glory, deeper in their calling, who want to surrender more to the Lord, there's always more to give, who want to take the next step, we're going to say that prayer. We're going to say, "Jesus, help us." We're going to say, "Jesus, I'm ready. Jesus, I'm going to let go of these things that have been holding me back, causing waves in my life." Look at Ephesians 1:7. "In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance to the riches of God's grace." One more. Galatians 3:13. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who is hung on a pole," on a tree in some translations. If you have been running, if you haven't been stepping up and doing what you're called to do as a Christian, as a mother, as a father, as a brother, as a sister, as a leader, as an employee, if you haven't been doing it with all your heart, serving with all your heart, which I'm pretty sure all of us can say we're kind of in that boat, let's spark a fire within us today. Let's be better in every aspect of our lives. Today, let's ask Jesus, "Hey, let's identify what's holding us back and let it go and leave it in this building today, just like we get to leave our sin on the cross of Jesus Christ." I got to experience the prodigal son love when it came to my niece running away recently. You see, I knew, and me and my dad being the predominant males in who were involved in all of it, when she ran, of course we're scared. Of course the unknown terrified us. We couldn't really sleep that well at night. And then the dad corrective side of me is like, this girl needs to get her act together. She could get killed out there. She was in Vegas running away. Like, that's a dangerous place to be out there on your own as a little 15-year-old. And of course, I have my frustrations. I'm like, we got to get her in a special school. We got to figure something out. We got to make sure if and when she comes back, what we're going to do. And my dad's kind of on the same mindset. And it was 2 days, but it was like, always getting calls and kind of waiting by your phone, just waiting to hear, is she okay? Or that dreaded call that something had happened. And I finally get that call. They go, she's home. When I found out she was home, my wife can testify, I am always on the side of correcting, on disciplining, on trying to, that's what I do with my kids. I take pride in it. She's like, why are you so happy about having to get your kids in line? I'm like, I live for this. I could not even fix my lips to even ask her who she was hiding with, to even ask my sister to drill her. My dad called me, she's home. I went, she's home? Thank God she's home. I didn't care about what state she was in. I didn't care about the fact that she had been running. I cared that she had came home. And that's for you guys. God is not here. I know it was a tough lesson. But God is not here saying, I'm so disappointed you haven't started that Bible study. I'm so disappointed you haven't quit smoking. I'm so disappointed you're still sleeping around. I'm so disappointed you're still a drunk. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, can you just come home? Can you just come home? Because I can break you free. I'm telling you, if you are out there, do not let pride stop you right now. You pray with us. You pray with us and get right. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you guys to join. I'm going to ask everyone. I'm not going to even do the bow head thing. Let's see this as a church. If you want to get right, if you want to sacrifice the things that are causing waves in your life, if you want to start following God more fully and wholeheartedly, help someone not feel alone. Raise your hand right now. Help someone not feel alone. Look at that. You're not the only one who needs Jesus. You're not weak because you need Jesus. Everyone in here, my hand is up. I need him. Don't let pride stop you from whenever you're going through it, going, Jesus, I need you. Don't let it happen. Say this prayer. Dear Jesus, be the leader of my life. Set me free from all my sin. Help me to follow you wholeheartedly. Give me the strength to let go of anything that gets in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. You see how many people need them? It's crazy. I so often thought I was so weak for needing Jesus. Gosh. You are the strongest person in this room because you have Christ in your heart. No one can touch you. This world can't hold you down. Those waves can't get you. Final thing that God gave me. I want to make this clear. He's not going to take the waves away. Waves still happen. Things still happen. The coolest thing, and this is why I picture a cool guy, he'll give us a surfboard to ride it, baby. Come on. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. Love you guys. I'll be up here for prayer. If anyone wants some prayer or anything, let's be the church. You guys serve. Help us out. Let's go.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.